Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you for joining us in the studio today. Joining me is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Steven Rue.
Hey.
And who are you?
a guest.
We have a special guest in the studio. Fallout, why don't you tell people all about yourself, where they can find you, and what you're known for.
Thank you, gentlemen. My name is Fallout. I got a YouTube channel, youtube.com/falloutplays. I'm on Twitch as well. I'm a Destiny player primarily. Been playing since the glory days of D1 beta, you know. And I do a lot of videos on PvP. I do weapon breakdowns and subclass guides and a lot of in-depth number stuff. How to improve on PvP and stuff.
That's
like
right.
That.
Science guy. I affectionately refer to you as. So yeah.
You were in town for a mystery reason that nobody can talk about. Definitely not Anthem.
Definitely not that.
That's not a mystery anymore. Anyway, we're going to talk about that a little bit on the show today. We're also going to discuss trials and ask sort of the question, can it ever come back and be the glorious mode that it was back in the day? And we're going to talk about the meta, because that is Fallout's specialty, the minutia and the meta, and that is what we're going to discuss today. So let's get right into it with trials. This is something that's been on my mind lately. With all these fantastic PvP modes out there, I truly wonder if Trials could ever come back and get that fervor and fanfare and just be as excellent as I remember it being in Destiny 1 days. And I guess I'll pass it to our guests first. What are your thoughts? Do you think it could ever catch that momentum again?
Oh, it definitely can. I mean, when Trials first came to Destiny, I feel like it kind of came out of left field. It came with which expansion was it? It was the
House of Wolves.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
But people have been data mining it since before
as people do. They love the data
Destiny.
Mining.
Yeah,
before Kingsfall, like, or not Kingsfall. God, what was it?
Dark Below.
Yeah, yeah, before Dark Below.
We're going way back now.
Yeah.
But it was fantastic. I mean, we had never played anything like that in a Destiny context before. Everything was like, it just worked together. And people made careers as like streamers and YouTubers. Seriously, people like Dr.
Sherpas.
Lupo like blew up overnight because they were going in on Trials. It was so enjoyable.
I remember when we were previewing it, I said this is going to redefine PvP. I was really, really stoked on it. And to sort of cut you off, sorry about that, first of all. Do you think that it could ever capture that magic again, because Trials came out in D2 and it sort of had the opposite effect?
Yeah, I mean, with initial D2 launch PvP, a lot of it got lost in the new 4v4 meta and the new the primary weapon long time to kill system. Meta.
Yeah.
It was just very different. It didn't feel like Trials. And I think that's part of the reason they took it away was because it was asking, like, the community was looking at it and like, this is just comp, because like there was no difference between Trials and comp. The only difference was Trials was going on the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, comp was whatever. But I don't think it would take, I mean, you know, armchair developer here, I don't think it would take much work at all for it to be playable. No, just kidding.
Buddy. We say that daily.
But, yeah.
How hard could it be? Right?
Yeah.
Kidding. No, I think they could definitely bring it back and have the magic that it used to have. And a lot of people would be super hyped for it.
I would love that. My concern is that with the sandbox that you brought up before, I wonder if they've changed it so much that it won't be able to recapture that magic. So if they were to bring it back, what are some ways that they would give themselves the best chance of success, in your opinion?
That's a great question. I need you to back me up here, buddy. I think we go back to the original format, the elimination. Maybe bring back 3v3, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, how do you miss there? Everybody loved the 3v3 elimination.
Yeah.
Can I interrupt you guys? Because it's funny that as you say that, I totally agree. You guys are both a little bit of, like, the you know, the comp sweat scene. I would say you guys were into that, like playing customs at the end of D1. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of that feedback was from people doing that and playing those game modes with four. So it's weird how it didn't translate well, but you guys played a lot of 4v4 in Destiny 1. Why did that feel good?
Because 4v4
in D1?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like at the end of D1, the community was super into what we called sweats, custom games. 4v4, it would be zone control, just regular Slayer and Supremacy. But it's different in elimination. I think three is the magic number in elimination because people lived for that 1v3 moment at the end.
Oh, for sure.
1v4, it seems way...
much harder.
It's much harder. And then there's this whole thing about one of your teammates goes down, so they're permanently out. Well, their res is out. And then you have 2v3... and you can kind of play around that third orb. I think adding a fourth person in just straight up elimination would kind of alter that magic sauce.
You know what else I miss about the 3v3 mode? Self-res. That moment you're the last one, you pop self-res and somehow you manage it. Yeah. And like the other team is like babysitting the orbs, right?
That was a big part of the myth.
Yeah,
it was
like a warlock. You're like, okay, you watch that guy. Stay right there.
Yeah.
It was so good with snipers too. You were watching him. I loved all the clips with the warlock reses and then goes down.
It's like a combination of everything. Like res sniping was huge.
Yeah. It was big.
Like
yeah.
what I can't remember. I don't think I've ever res sniped in Destiny 2.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like
never.
That was such a big part. Like, rezzing someone and pushing them out of the way, that was a thing. You can't even do that now because if you get hit while you're rezzing, it just resets. Yeah, so
another thing, do headshots kill on super?
They don't. So that's another another thing that you could outplay. Actually, aren't they changing that?
They're going to adjust that, I think, for some of the high impact.
But it's only for like a couple of sniper rifles,
The highest impact.
So, like, even then, that's different. Like, there was a form of outplaying that you could do, like you hear a Stormcaller pop.
Okay.
Stormcaller pop, like a blade dancer.
Stormcaller's coming.
You could outplay that super by sniping. And if there's only three people, I think there's a lot of things they need to bring back, but it would alter fundamentally how D2 works now.
It would, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Did I distract you guys?
No, that was good.
You broke the moment, man.
No, I was thinking it.
I
was thinking it too, so I'm glad you did. To go off that, I will say what's interesting is that we didn't get a chance to experience a trials with the D2 year 2 meta.
That's true too.
And so to me, when I think about it, like everything that we're talking about from a context of there were things like they didn't have the boon, they didn't have this, they didn't have that. As well as when I really think about it, power every round was not great either. I would have not had that. But the forest plays a different aspect to it. But I think the two primary system is really what made it feel very, very different.
No, I agree with you. Like we haven't tried 4v4 elimination in year two.
Yeah.
In the year two meta. So we don't know. Like it could work. I don't think it would though.
Interesting.
Here's what I think. Bring back the year one trials as an optional version of trials that you can play with its own set of rewards and have a separate new version of Destiny 2 meta. Well, hey, I'm allowed to wish for whatever I want.
That's true.
Steven.
They've never done it optional.
Don't disagree with his style.
Yeah.
And also,
would love 3v3 to come back.
So that, but then also, like you said, changing the game modes and it rotating in and out, I think, was also a huge one. Survival and Countdown didn't have the same feel, but regardless of whether or not you like them, the fact that they rotated each time, that was odd. I liked that you got in the groove of what Trials was, and it was the same every weekend.
Call me crazy. Also, Iron Banner was one of my favorite modes in Destiny 1. There's just something different about it in Destiny 2 that I can't put my finger on, where it feels just Iron slightly Banner. Off. I like it. It's still good, but it's not as good as it was in D1.
You know,
maybe it's just rose-colored glasses in my part.
It could be. Yeah. I don't know, but I kind of feel you. Like, Iron Banner is interesting. I want to play it because it's unique, and when it comes around, it's like special. You're like, oh, Iron Banner's in town. Let's give it a try because they put on the cool new gear and, you know.
That's interesting.
Talks to you.
Because I kind of like – well, Iron Banner has always been the same thing as Control, but not
– Yeah, like, Control, but not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I actually like D2 Iron Banner better than D1 Iron Banner.
Yeah.
The only thing that I liked in D1 better, and I won't play D2 Iron Banner anymore because I hate the armor sets in D2. Mm-hmm. And
So that's an incentive for you. Yeah, I
don't like this.
That's what you're playing for, right?
Yeah. Well, it depends on where you are in the power rank.
The climb.
Because that's people, if we're at maximum power.
If you're at maximum power.
We're playing for gear. So when I looked on and the rewards were not new, it was just the same old weapons. I was like, oh, I already have this. And my girlfriend's like, do you want to play Iron Banner? I was like, why?
Exactly. And the only thing that's different in D2 is the capping, the mechanic where you can lock them out. I really like that. I think
I enjoy that.
Regular control, yeah. Mm-hmm. But like the weapons aren't memorable to me. The armor sets don't look as cool. Like, do you remember the D1 PlayStation exclusive Iron Banner set? I don't know if you guys remember.
Ooh, I don't remember the PlayStation.
If I saw it, I would probably recognize it. But.
Oh man, I thought that was the coolest armor ever.
They've had a lot of very. Was that the the one with like the Titan had like the neck fuzz? It was like that wintry.
That was year three, I think. That was at the very end of year three of Rise of Iron. Yeah. But I don't know if it was like exclusive to that.
The Hunter cloak up was like a chain metal with like a black
fire. Yes. Okay. I remember that.
Yes. Yeah. And the Titan had like, it was like the fire inside that you could add.
Oh, yes. Right. Like, and it had the ornaments.
Yeah.
The
ornaments.
That was fun.
Was that? But no, I don't think that was Rise of Iron.
Was it? Was it exclusive? Okay.
It looked the same.
We're old. We have bad memories. CJ, let me throw it to you. Going back to the trials question. What do you think they would need to do to set themselves up for the highest chance of success when relaunching trials?
Yeah, so I think I'm reading your mind a little bit in that we've seen a lot of introduction of other games since, like PUBG and Fortnite and all those taking a little bit of attention. So there's that factoring. Like, do you think that? I feel like you're factoring those in, and maybe even Anthem too, like thinking that does that detract for you from it?
The playing field is much heavier now in the shooter space and just entertainment space, right? Destiny was sort of in its own community. It had its own player base, and it didn't really have a lot of competition. And now there's much more competition, and I wonder how could they ever bring back Trials and recapture that magic? And I'm concerned that the time may have passed for it. It would still be great to have it back. It's still going to be fun, but I don't think we're going to see them number one in the Twitch directory again every weekend that Trials is back.
I think that's the challenge. I think when you look at Trials, and if it comes back in another state where maybe it doesn't feel great right off the bat, that might be the time that people go, okay, like, this is my last Trials for Destiny 2. Mm-hmm. But if you're a Destiny player, the other stuff is kind of irrelevant, and I think then I would be excited for what we had in Destiny 1, but I don't think they'll just bring it back like that because there's no innovation in that. Mm. So, I mean, I long for the olden days and the rose-colored glasses way that it was. But I do think that hopefully they have a couple ideas that they can try. And now with the new weapon meta, I think that's a good start.
Yeah, and inversely, they also have the challenge of the lapsed player base who are big PvP fans haven't enjoyed the PvP meta in Destiny 2. Some of them kind of came back for the new sandbox, but are they going to come back and grind up to 650 so that their trial's ready and that they can compete in that field? That's another facet of the trials game that needs to be considered. And man, it's just a lot. It's a lot to think about, and it's kind of been on my mind lately because I loved trials in D1.
You know what? Mm-hmm. Curveball.
Okay.
I'm going to call this the McRib mentality. Okay. This is what I'm going to call officially the McRib mentality. Okay.
About.
Look,
I already
look
know.
Here it is. Because I think you're like, well, if they don't change anything, is it going to be like cool enough to bring everybody back? It's going to be what everybody wants.
Yeah,
exactly. You know what I mean?
Because
there's a lot of competition out there, all that stuff. They have to make it cool and new and awesome. Just bring it back exactly the way it was. 3v3. And I'm not even kidding.
No, I know.
Bring back the boons and all that. You bring back exactly the way it was. It's the McRib meta.
Yeah.
Because look, everybody loves the McRib. And then it goes away. When McDonald's brings it back, they're not like, well, how do we like make the McRib? No, they just bring back the McRib and people go for it every time. You don't need to change it. We got we know it's a winning formula because people in D1 liked Trials, we have the formula.
That's true, and I often thought that about elimination in and of itself, the game type. I was really surprised that went away or was morphed into Countdown. Like, I was really shocked that occurred. But to go along with your analogy, McDonald's doesn't serve pizza anymore. Do you remember when they used to serve pizza?
There are losers
I
out
do.
There.
Yeah,
winners and losers, right?
Yeah,
so,
me too.
Remember,
it was pretty good.
They did, yeah.
But still not.
There was a time
here.
When they served
I'm
pizza.
Glad that I don't know that.
It was fine.
It was good. Yeah. I mean, you know. Anyways, but it's interesting. I kind of agree with you, but I don't know if they'll do that. I don't think they'll bring it back exactly how it was, even though we won it. I mean, what do you let to end the segment? What do you think the chances of them bringing it back exactly the way it was?
Low. Yeah, I would say low.
Yeah, you
low.
Yeah, low.
Yeah, but if they brought
100%, that's what they're gonna do.
If they brought it there back though, and it was as fun as D1, I don't think the other games would play a factor in it. Because like, if you're a Destiny fan and you were a Trials fan,
yes,
the fact that like Fortnite's out there, PUBG's out there, Blackout, it that won't factor into your enjoyment.
Agreed.
It. Yeah, but it won't. It certainly won't attract like players who don't play Destiny 2 to play it, right?
Well, because people know what it is in a way.
Might. It might, but
yeah,
Trials is a very elite.
It's competitive.
Because let's say you have a friend who was really into like D1 Trials, and then D2 comes out. They don't like initial year one PvP. Mm-hmm. Trials is kind of whack, and they pull it away, and they're like, ah, you know, I'm out. I'm going to play something else. I'm going to go into Fortnite. And then like you hear that it's coming back, and like you're, you know, my friend, you've never played Destiny before.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, dude, did you hear? Like, they're bringing back Trials. And you're like, Trials? Well, what's that? I'm like, well, yeah, freaking great.
I guess. I think that's still like a very small.
It's probably a tiny number of people that could get brought into it, but you never know.
Yeah. I think players like us and like the hardcore players that really enjoyed Trials, maybe some of them will come back. And the people that are still playing, they'll definitely check it out. I wonder about those lapsed players, like players like me that are playing less because I feel like I've done everything, you know, except get the Jotun. Shut up. CJ did two runs.
One.
I did one.
Sorry.
I did one run before the show today and I got it.
You got it. Really? Wow.
I did six, all six, nothing. And I did four the week before.
Sean Finnegan
I
would
saw
say,
that. Yeah, I saw you're like,
good,
well, yeah, I know.
There's no getting good. I'm doing
exactly.
Everybody press F in the YouTube comment section.
Yeah, right.
Pay respects.
Yeah.
Pay respects.
We're going to continue with this meta talk because we're kind of in that headspace right now and we'll bring up Anthem a little bit later. So here's what I want to pose to our guests and everybody on the panel. Do you think we should speed up the meta or slow it down, or is it just right?
When you're talking about the meta, are you talking about the pace of the game,
the
time to kill on the weapons?
The time to kill, like you could turn up time to kill would be a way to speed it up. You could slow it down, make people a little bit more spongy in PvP.
What do you think? I don't want to turn it down. I don't want to make it longer to kill people. Longer and shorter. I don't want to do a longer time to kill. Yeah. I don't know. The question for me would either be, do we make it shorter for maybe like a limited number of weapons that need improving, or do we leave it the way it is?
Mm-hmm. I think snipers need to be one shot headshots.
Yeah.
I think that needs to come back.
You mean when you're
super.
When you're in super.
I would agree.
Yeah.
So that's one thing.
Especially 100%. Right now.
So that would be faster or more damage on
that would be, that would be a quicker overall in-game experience, a more like precision rewarding thing. Because right now, supers, and especially in comp, if you have a team all running roaming supers and you can put on those super mods on your armor where they charge very quickly,
it's nice.
You can literally win entire rounds with no effort. It's like I help people on when I'm streaming on Twitch, I'll sometimes help carry people to get their Luna or their
five supermods.
I'm plugging out here. I do. I'm like, look, do you have any supermods? You put that on right now.
That's the equivalent of in Trials, run scories.
That was kind of brutal because it was like, okay, let's all hold hands in the back of the map. This is different. It's like you just notice that naturally you're like, wow, I got my super. And if you get it before the other team can get theirs,
you do
the snowball effect.
Yeah.
So there needs to be more because right now, especially with something like the Spectral Blade, where it's like it's so powerful.
Yeah.
You can just kind of run. I mean, you can all focus fire on it if you all get very lucky, but if it catches you in a certain situation. So I do miss those moments in the cool, awesome D1 meta where like you just turn around and blast that guy in the face with a sniper. Yeah. You're like, bam, that's what I'm talking about right there.
All right. Anybody else have any comments on snipers?
I mean, the flinch that's there is still a little too heavy. It's mostly when you're taking shots. Again, this is from a controller guy. I know it feels different on mouse and keyboard.
I mean, it's still there.
It's still there.
It's still pretty crazy.
Bite of the Fox is probably actually one of my favorite snipers, as well as what's the sniper that you get from the newest Forge?
The Uzanagi's Burden?
Yeah, or like, but it's the not Tara's the newest version. Yeah, the Tara's Gaze. That one feels great as well, too.
With Snap.
With Snapshot. So everything needs to usually have Snapshot, and then ideally with that one, Kill Clip. But then I think the other one that I like a lot is Moving Target. Seems to work really well for controller.
That's
a good perk.
That's like the hidden hand of D2.
It's a hidden hand. Yeah. And yeah, honestly, like, I've actually just been playing a lot because I do miss that part of the game. And when I've been playing, you know, even 1v1, now that I have Luna's Howl. Now that I have Luna's Howl, I can equip that in the primary sniper and then go for the secondary shot. So even if I body shot a guy, I love that moment where I just body shot him, then quick one turn around for like a single, like a hand cannon kill. Yeah. So there are parts of the game that I think that, yeah, are better, but it's still, yeah, it's a tough sell. Special ammo pickup. I played D1 a little while ago. I actually don't like the special pickup boxes in D1. I much prefer this new system where when take somebody out and if you have like a piece of armor equipped, you get an extra bullet.
Definitely.
It actually changes the game as a rewarding, it's like psychological effect. You're like, oh, I killed that guy. Now it's ammo time. And that is really, really good. So I enjoy that part. But yeah, I wish snipers would come back into the meta a little bit more than they currently are.
And primary ammo finder is just excellent.
That is the best perk.
One of the best perks, definitely. In all modes. It's definitely my favorite. I think we can all agree hand cannons are a pretty good spot. There's enough option there. And
yeah,
there's a few rolls like that you can get. Anybody disagree?
No.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's not that I disagree. It's like
it's a different game than D1.
It really is.
It really is. Like,
there's a part of me that's like, when they added the Luna and the Not Forgotten, I was like, this is exactly what we needed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now you see it everywhere in PvP, and I was like, this is great because we needed a hand cannon that felt like it could reliably three tap.
And you have A's,
sometimes two tap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, but then I kind of looked at it from a different way because there were a bunch of people on YouTube being like, I can't get it, man. I can't get the Luna. And it's rough because I want them to experience a fun weapon like that in PvP. I think Bungie had the right idea in giving two nearly identical weapons as rewards, the Luna being the one that most people can get, and then like the Not Forgotten for the extreme like PvP ballers or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But I wish they had maybe lowered that bar a little bit just because of how powerful. Because if you go on PC, I think you, because you're the PC guy, Ace of Spades, very popular.
Very popular.
Console, there's like no Ace of Spades.
It's just
Luna, not forgotten.
Yeah, that every game helps a lot. Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
But that hit reg box, like that's what we said in the first part playing console for the first like few weeks. Like the hit detection in Destiny 1 for hand cannons was so forgiving. And it's interesting when I hear you say Luna, I know you mean Luna's Howl.
Right.
But a lot of people in Destiny 1 couldn't get IS Luna.
Oh, the IS Luna.
Also affectionately referred to as the Luna. That it's funny that same grind for that like. For that hand cannon.
Whoa, CJ.
People have been waiting to see if I was going to spill my water at some time. But yeah, that legendary grind for those hand cannons are still there in a different kind of way. So
yeah. Scouts are a joke, right?
They are. Yeah. Aren't they tweaking those for January 29th, the latest?
Dear God, thank you. Like,
There's no reason
I'm not going to use them.
But here's the thing. Like, so let's
pulses
talk.
Are.
Let's talk PvE or PvP for a second real quick, because, I mean, in D2 year one with scouts with Mida and PvP, no thank you. I did not like that.
No. Team shot with Mida.
Yeah, I did not like that meta at all. Yeah, it gives me nightmares thinking
but
about it.
They're literally broken right now. Like, they don't function.
They don't function as they're supposed to work. So I get that, like, within the PvE space, obviously it would be nice to have a powerful weapon that has, benefits to using at long range.
Yeah.
There really isn't any.
And then pulses, they're okay, right?
Yeah, pulses.
There's a few good ones.
I'm using mainly a hand cannon or a pulse rifle, and, like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm playing to win, like, if I'm going in to have fun.
Yeah.
What's your main pulse right now? Like Blast Furnace?
For PvE, I use Go Figure. You're talking PvP, right?
I'm talking PvP.
Yeah.
There's a couple that I enjoy using. Blast Furnace I like.
Yeah.
The Bygones is really good. For quick fire, the Chattering Bone is a lot of fun.
Oh, that's right.
It's a fantastic pulse rifle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple that I feel really good about. But, like, outside of hand cannons and pulse rifles, I won't really use anything because I feel like they're not rewarding enough in PvP.
Yeah.
That's why, like, when people come into play going for that comp grind for the Luna, they're like, oh, here's my loadout. Like, I'm like, okay, well, you can use the auto rifle if you feel good, because I'm not going to give you a gun that, like, you don't feel good about, because then they're
last
not going to
perform
as well. Last
time autos were relevant were Cirrus.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just letting you know on paper.
Yeah.
Auto rifles aren't very good, bro.
Oh, yeah. Auto rifles.
Passing.
Yeah. There's not an auto rifle that I can think of that I would take in a PvP. Pulse rifles, you're right. Actually, they're pretty good. Now that you start naming off a few of them, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Blast. Oh, yeah, I forgot about
it. That one's good. Yeah, so that's definitely a good point.
What are some good autos right now?
Like nothing.
Tiger Spite, is that like...
That's for PvE.
I guess. That's what I mean. I mean, like, yeah.
Even in PvE, they're sort of, eh.
Yeah. I'm kind of okay with it. Bungie has a really hard job, and it's almost impossible to get every class of weapon on the same level for a competitive balance standpoint. On paper, you would have to get all the time to kills to, like, match.
Yeah.
But even if you did... If all the time to kills would match on paper, you would just use the weapon that would be easiest to use. Because if you're comparing like a hand cannon, which is like you require a precision, and pacing, to like an auto where I just lock on your head and hold the trigger down, I would go for the auto. So it's a hard job.
It's not as fun. It's not, auto's not as fun.
Yeah.
Shotguns are great. Like shotguns are in a pretty
Shotguns are really fantastic. I hope they don't do anything to them. Like, look, I really love shotguns. I know they take less skill than something like a sniper, but like I feel like I would love to have snipers brought up to where shotguns are. Like don't bring down no one wants that. I mean some people do, but but bring everything up.
I would say like the trench barrel thing is weird to me. Like it was sort of like an unnecessary nerfing because I think they were worried about people tearing through the raid maybe too fast
or Gambit,
and then we did anyway.
They were probably looking at the numbers. I know that when I do the raid or when I do Gambit before the trench barrel thing, I was using that shotgun all day, ever. I would go to bed. That thing was under my pillow. You know what I mean? Like, why would you not use trench barrel?
I didn't mind the trench barrel nerf. Like, even with that nerf, that's still the only thing I use in PvE.
Because it's good.
You can still do like 4 or 5 rounds, right?
Well, now you got to do, it's less DPS because you can shoot 3 melee, shoot 3 melee. Right, it's not just like aimlessly holding down the trigger. But like, even with that nerf, like, would you use a Badlander over it? No. Would you use like a retold tail over it? No. They just lower the DPS for that. I didn't mind it.
Real quick, just since we're on a roll, last couple weapons, let's talk real quick. Fusion rifles, what do you think? I love Wise and Rebuke.
There's a few good ones.
It's a few good ones. I'm not
sure. I don't use them ever.
Yeah, I don't use very many besides Wise and Rebuke because I have backup plan, which Steven knows all about that.
Fusions are insane. Sean.
They're crazy right now. Is there anything else that is really good? Arintel, I think, or something like that.
Telesto.
Telesto, thank God. Telesto.
See, I don't consider that. Like, I feel like that's just a cheat exotic. But besides Telesto, is there anything else that's a good fusion out there right now that you can think of?
Jotun. Big Joey Tun, you know him? He comes around these parts.
I wouldn't know anything about it, but I hear it's overpowered.
Rip. But even
it's good, but like
it has a weakness.
I wouldn't say it's overpowered. It's very fun.
I heard it's overblown.
Overblown.
The reaction to when it first came out, everyone was like freaking out.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Because you see the clips and you were like, good Lord.
It's
did he
like
just
mini
like,
Gallimore.
And
then like I tried it out and it was like, it's not. No, it's good.
It's a new coveted weapon that a lot of people, myself included, do not have. So they see it as overpowered because they don't know how to counter it.
Yeah, it's the knee jerk reaction.
I was shooting people with it and they were dodging me without knowing they were dodging me. Like they're just strafing and I missed the shot. I was like, oh, damn it.
Last two. Let's go linear fusion rifles and then sidearms. What do you think?
Sidearms are bad.
I never liked
them. Yeah.
I mean, so I last hoped all year one. Steven remembers this.
Don't admit that on camera.
Steven, I know, but it was terrible. I know. Steven already hates me for it. I have clips where I beat him.
With Time War Inspire last hope.
It was a brutal combo. Yeah.
He used it in PvE and PvP.
I did.
Never changed.
And PvE.
Yeah. But I mean, last hope was really good. I don't think there's any kind of new sidearm that anybody really cares about in D2 year two.
No.
Well, that's the thing. Like when you bring back special weapons, SMGs and sidearms are going to disappear, right?
Right. Yeah, Open.
Oh, SMGs.
Sidearms have been
There's a few
strange
scenarios that they work.
Yeah, that's true.
Because in D1, remember, they took our special ammo away.
Oh, no.
And we were like, we don't like that. And they were like, well, here's the sidearm, which fills a role because you get ammo on spawn where other weapons don't.
Yeah.
But now we have our ammo back, so what role does it fill other than being like the degenerate little brother to like a sidearm to like a shotgun?
We call
way
those
better.
The dark times.
Actually, sidearms. I mess around in Gambit with sidearms. Sidearms are pretty.
Do you really?
Yeah, they shred through those minions pretty quick. Sidearms.
Interesting. Too. Okay.
Yeah. So, but it's like I never liked when they introduced sidearms first in D1 or grenade launchers in D2. Like it didn't feel like Destiny to me.
Machine guns are terrible. definitely needs more.
There's only a couple. So.
They need more ammo. Yeah. There's not enough ammo in machine.
We need more of them. There's not enough.
That's true.
There's like three
that's
of them.
Definitely true. Yeah. What is it? Thunderlord, the new one.
The Dawning one there.
The Forge one. The Forge the, one. The Dawning Blue one. Yeah.
I have like 20.
Is that it? Like,
it's, one for, it's one for each helmet.
Yeah.
Oh, one for each helmet.
Yeah, Avalanche, Solar, the Forge is...
Well, I thought you said helmet. I was like, what are you talking
element.
About?
Oh, element. I thought you said helmet, too.
Yeah,
I was like,
new helmet.
We're all like, very tired.
How many new helmets? One for each element. Got it. Okay.
I think that about wraps
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, we all know Queensbreaker's over Pia-powered Gambit. We've been there.
Then they're fixing it.
Exactly. Right. They're tweaking.
So. Yeah. So let us know what you think about the weapon balance currently in Destiny 2. Just make a list and give a few comments about which weapons you like and which you don't and why. And the final topic, I just wanted to discuss Anthem. The demo is out this weekend,
yeah,
and I'm kind of wondering if that's going to affect the current player base of Destiny. I think it will, and I think a lot of people are going to check it out, and it's going to be interesting to see where it all settles. Fallout, we're past embargo. We can actually talk about the fact that we played some Anthem at an EA event recently. Do you think it's going to end up taking away part of the Destiny audience, it's kind of the splintering that I was discussing earlier?
I don't know about taking away. I mean, it's going to divert attention definitely big time, especially when the game first comes out. There's that huge, you know, like hype, like, oh, we got to play this new game. It's awesome. But I think Destiny has the staying power at this point. You might see the numbers do a little wave action.
Yeah.
That's what my hand is doing right now. It's a terrible representation of a wave.
No, it looks good on camera.
But it looks good on camera. Just keep doing it. Yeah, no, it's very fun. Mm-hmm. But I think especially the fact that the game doesn't have the PvP element.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yet, anyway, we don't know what's going to happen there. But I do believe that it's a thing where you could play more than one game. You know, you could do a little Anthem, have some fun. Maybe you get the itch to come back. Because Destiny, there's things to do in Destiny that, you know, it's always pulling you back.
Yeah.
New events, stuff to do on the weekends. Oh. When they bring new loot and, you know, sandbox updates and stuff like that. I feel like Destiny has the return power. But I do expect a lot of people to go to Anthem right away.
That's my plan. Like, I went and no-lifed Red Dead for, like, two weeks, you know. And I'm going to go no-life Anthem.
Sure.
And it's going to be really interesting to see if it has staying power in the end. CJ, like, is this a game that entices you in any way? You've seen our IGN first coverage.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've gotten a chance to play it at E3 or anything.
I did get a chance to play it at E3. It's weird. Like, Fallout brings up a good point. I think that's a little bit where I'm at with it. I think everybody will want something different from Anthem, and I think everybody thinks that Anthem is something different than maybe it is. And I'm not saying that because I know, but I just think that if you're a Destiny fan, you'll want Anthem to be the thing that you go back to every week. If you're not a Destiny fan, I think you'll want Anthem to be like a BioWare game, like story. And so I think they have a lot of expectations that they probably will – they'll need to figure out, but also like I think that probably it could be, and I don't know this – like the content mistakes or like the shortcomings that Destiny had in year one, like we felt that maybe we wanted more because we liked it. I think that Anthem might have those similar struggles. But I'm excited to actually dive into the campaign, you know, from things that, you know, I think and just seen. I'm excited about that part of the game, maybe as much or more than the actual like PvP grindy or PvE, sorry, grind to it. Yeah, I'm excited about like the story because it does look amazing. The game is visually beautiful.
Here's the best thing about Anthem. It brings competition to Destiny, and it's going to show Destiny, hey, look at their character customization, how robust it is, and look at their storytelling capabilities and how much time and effort they put into that aspect of their game.
Yeah.
And they're going to show Destiny a few things that they could maybe improve upon.
Yep.
And I think that's good. Healthy competition is a positive thing for the gaming industry.
Yep.
So I'm excited to see how it pans out. Steven, being a big PvP guy, how are you feeling about the Anthem release? Are you interested?
Yeah, I'm definitely interested. I'm going to hop into Anthem, but I think people are mistakenly thinking that because Anthem is a looter shooter, because Destiny is a looter shooter, they're going to...
You can't play both.
Yeah, and I think what people are... When I see the Anthem coverage, I don't feel like the gunplay mechanics are important in Anthem. It seems more like combinations and getting like different kinds of armors. I know they showed some mods today, like getting more your ability cooldown, stuff like that. But I think people are going to miss that gunplay feel that you get in Destiny. Also, I feel like you don't really get attached to the weapons you loot in Anthem. Because in Destiny, because it's also a first person versus third person
that
thing.
That too, yeah.
The gun is right in front of you in Destiny, and you know what role you have on the weapon, so you kind of feel attached to it. Mm-hmm. Anthem, you're kind of flowing around, and you're more attached to how you look and the armor, but not the weapon itself. So I think you're not going to get that shooting itch with Anthem. Also, I can't imagine like they would have something like a raid in terms of like the intricacies and the mechanics of a Destiny raid. Mm-hmm. What I do think Anthem can deliver on is you're in a four-person squad with three of your buddies, and it seems like they have spaces where you can like be in these massive dogfights that you can't really get in Destiny. Like Riven is stationary and you're having a massive fight with Riven, but it's really like mechanic based.
You and saw Anthem, the hard, we played a mission on hard today and we got crushed like, against that tank. That was Roman.
I can imagine like a big boss like flying around and you have to like shoot it. Like that would be cool. Like basically like the, like an Avengers movie where you're all Iron Man.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think they're going to be very different games, and I don't think you can compare them together.
You can't compare them, but they have. You can compare them, actually. I'm going to counter that and saying there's stuff about the game that is comparable. Mm-hmm. There is a social space that was revealed yesterday. It's a looter shooter, so like there's the loot game, you know. But I do understand what you're saying about the comparison aspect that a lot of people have been doing, saying, oh, this game's going to cannibalize that one. And I just think they're different enough that, yes, they're both looter shooters. Yes, they're both hero fantasy, right? But they're different enough that Destiny is a first-person shooter, and they nail how that those shooting mechanics feel.
Yeah.
And Anthem is going to nail a few other things, I think. But this is their launch game, right? They're going to have a big learning curve to get over that Destiny has had a whole game of.
To me, the big fight isn't between Destiny and Anthem. It's between Anthem and Division 2.
Yes.
Like those games.
What about Warframe? That's a good point. Any Warframe in there or no?
Everybody compares Anthem to Warframe.
Yeah.
I see that all the time.
I don't have enough knowledge or playing time in Warframe to make that comparison. But yeah, those games do look similar to me. And I think that should be the main argument, not Destiny and Anthem.
Yeah.
That's actually an interesting point. Yeah. Cause I've heard a lot of people talking about.
Yeah. I mean, they're coming
Division
out.
Division 2, and I think there's raids in that as well. I don't have the knowledge to speak on that game.
It's like, and you're also third person. You're really focusing on like your armor and your weapons and how you customize it and mod it. And I think that is more similar than the Destiny and Anthem debate.
For me, it's all really exciting because I'm excited about Division, I'm excited about Anthem, and I still have Destiny.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of them are going to like totally go away. And I remember when the first Division came out, I have a huge like amount of game time, like in-world game time in Division 1, and I just walked away after a while because like the end game came out and it wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And if either of these games don't nail that aspect again, like Division 1 did, the same thing's going to happen. Or like if the gear is gloves. Oh, you got gold gloves. Congratulations.
Exactly.
Like, it has to be enticing and interesting. I see Anthem as a Monster Hunter type game. Monster Hunter has a huge following, huge audience, but it kind of does this with little blips.
Yep.
And Destiny does the same thing. As long as those blips aren't overlapping, then we're not really going to have some sort of battle where one game is going to come out on top.
Yeah.
So I think they can all live peacefully together.
I don't know about
can peacefully. They coexist.
Definitely.
At least stagger the DLCs.
I'm not sure if you guys had anything else to say or for wrapping up. I wanted to say about Anthem in general, and I hope this is the case for the game space. There's a lot of this versus talk, and regardless of the situation,
only one can survive.
No, absolutely.
Anthem versus Destiny versus Division versus Warframe
versus Monster Hunter.
Versus Monster Hunter. Not.
Remember when Monster Hunter came out and everybody
the same
compared
thing.
It to Destiny?
Absolutely. And so I hope that people do give Anthem a chance. Like I think the way we see a little bit of the hate sometimes for Destiny, I hope that the I hope that the Anthem devs, because the Warframe devs, I don't hear any hate at all there. Even when they're doing microtransactions, they seem to be doing really good. I hope that people give Anthem a chance because I think that that's when you see the love poured into those kind of games and all the rest of that stuff. Yeah, like they could have totally same audiences, different audiences, but regardless, I hope they can coexist and they actually have communities that will overlap.
Yeah,
and it'd be good communities.
The BioWare guys have been ridiculously transparent about Anthem.
Yeah.
They will just go on Twitter tirade answering 300 questions.
Yeah, they're very transparent.
I love that. I hope Bungie loosens up a little bit more. They've been great this year, continue to have those sort of dialogues with your community. There's no negative aspect to come out of it, in my opinion.
I would minorly disagree because, like, when you're being super transparent, you always open the door for people to being like, so like if Bungie just went on Twitter and they said, hey, you know what, we're gonna buff this weapon class by this much, or they gave away some kind of secret sauce to the matchmaking or something like that, and then people are like, well, wait, why are you doing that? That's terrible. Why would you do that? I have spent 0 years working in the gaming industry, and I could do this better than you. It's a terrible idea.
Yeah,
that's always a possibility, but I think in the long run, it's much better to be transparent because you can take the trolls. There's always going to be trolls, right? We don't want there to be trolls, but at the very least, you're opening the door to more productive conversations between the game developers and the community and the fan base.
I think transparency is great. When it backfires is when you say something and you don't deliver on it, aka Luke Smith's your seventh.
Let's talk about our 10th better devil. That's like the most infamous quote.
Whatever happened to that, Luke?
Sorry.
Well, that's when it backfires.
So it's tricky. I mean, that, and I think that, Anthem will run into that. Bungie and Destiny are going to run into that always, but I feel like Anthem's done a great job, and I hope Bungie continues to do the job that they've done in year two, because they have been doing really good. Like, we got a roadmap, we got all these other things, and I know that there are going to be other little secrets coming up, and I think that's the challenging thing, is that sometimes, you can't always say, because there is some magic, you know, surprise and delight that you want to have. Mm-hmm. You don't want everything spoiled for you. I mean, at least I don't. So.
No, I like the secret. Stop advertising the guns that are going to be in the exotic quest. Thank you. Like, leave a little mystery.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Kind of ruins that unveiling day.
Well, I mean, here's the problem. The data miners, they're the problem. They farm it.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think that's the reason why. I mean, it kind of gets spoiled for you somehow, or you see it on a Reddit post. It's like,
Well, but still, that's still a guess, and sometimes they're wrong, so you don't really know. And when they release the last word trailer, you're pretty damn sure that's the exotic.
There you go.
Do you remember
in D1 when no one knew anything and you'd see some guy walking around with an exotic, you'd freak
out. That was great.
Yeah, I missed that.
Look at this guy. He's got that. Like, follow this guy. Look at that.
He's got like a celestial night hawk on. Like, I miss those feelings. And we can't ever get that back. The data miners show off all the exotic.
To a degree, I mean, because remember when they did the Whisper of the Worm quest with that exotic
sniper?
That came out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, like, Reddit blew up and Twitter and everyone was on Twitch. We're like, watching, like, oh, what is this? What's going on? Like, so you can still data mine to an extent, but then you can have the intricacies like behind the curtain, and that was one of the best things Bungie ever did. It was super fun.
And then they had Cabal Drill for a whole weekend.
Don't do that. Cabal again?
I know, because I got it the day before the Cabal Drill went on loop.
I think he's a little bit hurt still.
Yeah. Or like, talk to it, Bungie, about your RNG. What's going on?
My RNG is terrible.
Exactly.
That's all I have for this episode. Thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find your content?
You can find me at youtube.com/falloutplays, twitch.tv/falloutplays. Same thing for Twitter. If you just Google Fallout Plays, you'll find me eventually. Stumble across me. Get out there.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. Look me up. And if you don't know, we all point at the camera and say Guardians out at the end. So we're going to do that right now.
Where's Fran when we meet him?
Yeah. Fran's usually the one that does the coaching.
Exactly.
But that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for joining us. And until next time, Guardians out.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.